Hell is described as a pit. If you look in Genesis, when Israel's boys, when Joseph went to see his brothers, they came, and because of their jealousy and everything that was going on, they took Joseph and they threw him into a pit where there's no way that he could crawl out. Joseph was in a pit, and hell is described as a pit. It's a place where there's no way to get out. Joseph was in a pit. I'm sure that the pit that Joseph was in was a small pit. Hell is described as a pit. Hell is described as a lake of fire. A lake of fire. So out here behind us, there's a lake. It's a big area of water. This is described as a vast area, a big lake of fire. Now, here some time ago, I was reading an account of a place overseas somewhere where there was this huge, buildings that were burning, and a huge part of the city was burning, and there was people, you know, they were trying to slow the fire down, but there's this huge area, there's huge walls, and things were caving in, and all these people were there watching. They were watching this huge fire, and in the middle of that, they see this man, and he had decided to commit suicide. So he ran through the people screaming, and he ran right into the fire, right in through the middle of all those buildings, and right in the middle of it, and he collapsed and he died there. People tried to restrain him, but they couldn't. He ended up in the middle of all that, and he collapsed and he died. Now, for that man, he died. He's gone. He went into the fire and he died. It won't be that way in hell. But hell is this vast lake of fire and brimstone. So it's described as a lake. Hell is described as a furnace of fire. Now, there's some of us that might have some furnaces. I have a small furnace where I heat my house with. All of us know the account of the three Hebrew children. But the three Hebrew children, the king commanded that they build this big furnace, and they heat it with fire 7 times hotter than normal. And then they threw the three Hebrew children into the fiery, burning, fiery furnace. But hell is described as a furnace. Think about that. Hell is described as a furnace. Hell is described as a place of torment in the flame. It's described as a place of torment in the flame. Torment in the flame. I think many of us have a very vague idea of what torment really is. If we get the martyr's mirror, and I have one in my little RV there, but if you take and by the way, how many of you do not have a martyr's mirror? Raise your hand. I'll raise your hand if you do not have a martyr's mirror. Most of you do, but there's some of you that don't. It's worth buying one. I'd encourage you to get one. But if you read through the martyr's mirror, there's all these accounts of how men and women of God were tormented. They would put them on a rack, and they would pull them apart. one crank at a time until they burst. There's accounts where they put screws into the people's tongues. There's accounts where they took hot angles and they put them in the fire till they're red hot, and they put them on people's bodies, all over their bodies, and they were tormenting the people. You know, these things really happen. But the Bible says that hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of torment. The Bible says that hell is a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. Quite a number of years ago, I received a phone call. And there's this lady, her husband, well, actually, she had left her husband, and then she came back, and then her husband left her. And she was calling for help, trying to sort through what to do. But I'm going to say that I have never in my lifetime heard a person wail like that lady wailed that day. As she was agonizing at what had happened between her and her husband, and her husband had made a decision to leave her, and he isn't back with her even today, to this day. But her husband had made a decision to leave her, and when we went to talk with her, I've never in my lifetime have I heard a woman wail and wail and continue to wail. For weeks and months, that wailing stuck in my mind. It was etched in my memory. The extent of the wailing. Here, hell is described as a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is described as a fire that shall never be quenched. I don't know if we get that. Hell is described as a place that the fire shall never, ever. The fire shall never be quenched. Never. Never. You know, how long is never? Hell is described as a place where the fire will never be quenched. Hell is described as a fire that's unquenchable. Here just a couple of months ago, one of the brothers from our fellowship had a fire in his shop. They were working, and for various reasons, they didn't realize what all was going on, but it ended up that they had a fire in their shop. And when the fire started, the flames started growing, and all the things around started burning, and it went up into the rafters, and the rafters started burning, and as all this was happening, they ran for the fire extinguishers. They ran for the water hoses. And as they put it to the fire started dwindling down. It started being quenched. And as they kept on it, and they kept working on, the fire department came. And after the fire department finally arrived, you know, they came to where the fire was quenched. Heaven is a place, hell is a place where the fire shall never be quenched. The fire can't be put out. It's unquenchable. Hell is a place where the fire is unquenchable. Hell is described as a place of everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. So I'm a young man, right? I know my hair are getting a little bit gray here and there, and And some of you look at me and say, oh, you're getting up there. But let me tell you, I'm not very old yet, right? I do remember some things that happened when I was 3 years of age. I do remember some things that happened when I was 3 years of age. That was only 45 years ago. That was only 45 years ago. But everlasting is nothing compared to 45 years. We have a sister in our church that's 91 years old. In August, she turned 91 years of age. Her name is Mary Ann. She loves the Lord. And 91 years is nothing compared to eternity. It's nothing. It's not even a blink compared to eternity. How many of you know our brother John Lonaker? In fact, some of you are brothers here. His wife, as many of you know, received some burns from hot water. Pressure cooker. She got some of that water on her face. She got it on her arms. And she has it very, very bad on the one arm. Not sure, is it third degree burns or something? It's pretty horrible. It's very bad. She says this, that right after it happened, she was putting her face under the water trying to cool this burn. She put her face in. She was trying to cool the burn. She was trying to cool the burn on her arms and on her face. And the excruciating pain that she was experiencing. Just on and on and on as they tried to cool the burn. Let me just tell you, what she experienced is nothing. It's nothing compared to what people experience in hellfire. It's everlasting. It's described as hellfire. It's described where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Where the worm dieth not. You know, the bodies that we have right now are temporal. And that man that I described to you, out of his desire to commit suicide, he ran into the flames, he ran into the fire, and through all that, he was killed. That his body couldn't take it. But the Bible says, where the worm dieth not, in hell, we're going to have different bodies. We're going to have bodies that can experience the pain. But our bodies won't, where the worm dieth not, where our bodies won't die, where everything that we have, we can still smell, we can still see, we can still feel, and that torment. Our bodies will continue, even if we're in the fire. We'll continue to be able to feel it and it won't kill us. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Here's another one. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever. And I don't know that I understand it, but it describes it that the smoke of their torment riseth, goes up in the air forever and ever. I looked out of the window of our little RV here this morning, and I could see here there's a smoke going up. Over there there's a smoke going up, and over there there's some more smoke going up. But here it describes it that the smoke of their torment riseth forever. Forever. It'll always continue to rise. It'll never stop. You know, the world is about 6,000 some years old. And we think that's a long time. You know, Adam and Eve, we think of Adam and Eve, we think of their children, we think of all the people that have multiplied over the face of the earth in the last 6,000 years. All those people. And we look at those 6,000 years. And, you know, we have a hard time to grasp. Things change so quickly. We have a hard time to grasp how long eternity is because it's foreign to us. It's a term and a word that we don't quite understand. We've never seen it. We don't connect with it quickly. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Upon the wicked shall rain, no, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Which one was I? The smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever. Here's another one. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. He shall be tormented in the presence. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Now this is the brimstone. I would assume that it's something very similar to this. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. Here's another one. It says, and they have no rest day nor night. They shall have no rest day or night. Now I know that for all of us, we work, we're busy, we're occupied. You know, we're going about our duties and we get tired. I know there's, you know, some of you that maybe worked all night long one time. You know, you worked all night long. And the next morning, you're at the place where you're just physically just spent. There's nothing left. In, you know, your bones are literally aching all over, and there's just a, you know, you're just at the end of yourself. There's, you know, you just, you know, you feel like you're just ready to fall on the ground and just sleep. The Bible says there is no rest there. In hell, there's no rest. Consider that with me. That hell, fire, is a place where there's no rest. No rest. Can you just imagine with me how miserable that has to be? Tormented with fire. Tormented with brimstone. Tormented in this eternal place. And there's no rest there. It'll never stop. And they have no rest day nor night. Here's another description. It says, and shall be tormented day and night forever. So that torment, that it'll be day and night. Day and night. It's not only during the day. Right now, we have our things going on during the day. We have our busyness. And then we go into bed. And I'm sure if you're all like me last night, I crawled into bed and just slept. And this morning, I was refreshed. It won't be that way. It says they shall be tormented day and night forever. Here's another description. It says, in chains of darkness. Now, I don't know what you think that chains of darkness are. Chains, hell is described as a place of chains of darkness. Here, a number of years ago, we were at at some caverns. And when we were in the caverns, our guide told us that you should just be prepared, because at some point, without warning, I'm going to turn the lights off and it'll get dark. We were there and we had sort of come to a place of stop, and all of a sudden all the lights went off. And in those caverns there was no light. I could put my finger right in front of my eyes and I couldn't see my finger. You know, at nighttime, even in the darkest night, you can put your finger in front of your eyes and you can see things. But in hell, it's described as a place of chains of darkness. I don't know what all that means, but it's described as a place of chains of darkness. Hell is described as a place where there's a great gulf fixed and no one can pass through. Now, I'd like to, for a couple minutes, consider the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man and Lazarus, I believe we all know the account. Jesus gave the story of the rich man and Lazarus, of how that the rich man, he had all his dainties, and Lazarus, he was a beggar. But one day, they were both in the endless eternity. There is a day when they came and they passed. They both passed from this life into the next life. All of us here this morning, there's a day coming that we will pass from this life into the next life. And for the rich man and Lazarus, they passed from this life into the next life. And the Bible says that in hell he opened his eyes being in torments. And there's a couple things I like to point out here that specifically happened with Lazarus, or with the rich man. Now, consider with me, here's the rich man, and in hell he opens his eyes. And when he opens his eyes, it says that he sees Abraham afar off. I believe one of the torments in hell is going to be the fact that we can see over into the blessed. It says, where do you think Abraham is? Abraham is with the Father. Abraham is with God. But it says that the rich man, he opened his eyes, and over there he sees Abraham afar off, and he recognizes Abraham. I believe one of the torments is going to be that we're going to be able to see over there. Can you just imagine being in all these torments and yet looking over there and looking at the people of God? Can you just imagine with me looking over there and you see all their happy faces and you see them being with the Father and worshiping God and all the beauties and bliss of heaven and being in torments? Can you just imagine that? It says, he seeth Abraham afar off. Here's another thing that he experienced, that the rich man experienced. The rich man, or Abraham, said to the rich man, he said, remember that thou in thy lifetime, in hell, those of us who are going to be in hell, those that are going to be in hell are going to be able to remember. Can you just think with me, being in hell, being in eternal fire and brimstone and all the torment and all everything that goes with it, and then thinking back over our lifetime, and we remember Oh, my brother. Oh, that man that came and shared the gospel with me. I remember when that tract was given to me. I remember when that man told me and invited me. He wanted to help me so that I don't have to go to this place. One of the horrors of hell is we'll be able to remember. And, oh, can you just think of all those opportunities and remember back. And we remember all the privileges and the opportunities that we had, but because of our own proud heart, we refused. We refused to open ourselves and to repent of our sins and to lay everything down in order to follow Christ. See, Jesus, Scripture, God is wanting us to lay everything down. Surrender everything. But you know, so many have our fists closed. We won't give this up and we won't give that up. And all these things, we're hanging on to them. But in hell, we're going to remember. Those of us that are going to be in hell, we're going to remember. And we're going to remember the home I was raised in. We're going to remember the times that I had contempt at the people of God. We're going to remember all the wrong things that I did, all the opportunities that I would have had to turn away, but I never did. We're going to remember. And the rich man was remembering. Abraham said to the rich man, "Remember that thou in thy lifetime." There's another man, or there's another thing that's happening there with the rich man. It says that there is a great gulf fixed. There's a great gulf fixed that they that would pass from here to here cannot. There's a great gulf fixed that there's no more passing from one to the other. It's eternal. You can see over in, but there's a great gulf fixed, and there's no passing over. As a rich man was there, in pain, in suffering, he asked, "Would you please bring one drop of water and put it upon my tongue? Because I'm tormented in this flame. Would you please only bring one drop of water?" Here's another thing that happened. All of a sudden, when the rich man was in hell and he opened himself, he became a missionary. All of a sudden, in hell, he started thinking of his brothers. He started thinking of the awfulness that he's in. And he started thinking of his brothers and saying, "Hey, can't you please bring someone back to tell my brothers about this flame and to warn them?" See, many of us, you know, we're not very good missionaries. But let me tell you, those that are in hell, they all of a sudden become missionaries. They want to do everything they can that their brothers don't come into this place. They want to do everything they can that their friends don't come into this place. They want to do everything they can to make that these others don't come into this place. Because they see the horribleness they're experiencing. And and they would give everything. But there's a great gulf fixed. Abraham said this. He said, if they don't hear the prophets, and if they don't hear the other warnings that are given, if they don't hear them, they won't here even if someone would rise from the dead. And you know that that's true. Let me just tell you, I have heard over and over and over again, people make these commitments and they say, well, if this and this happens, then I'll repent and I'll turn to God. Or if this happens, then I would. And these things happen and they still don't turn to God. It doesn't matter if someone would rise up from the dead to warn us. If you don't believe the word, the prophets, the preachers, you won't believe even if someone would rise from the dead. You still wouldn't believe. The rich man called for help, and no help came, and no help will ever come. He's still wailing today. The rich man, after thousands of years, he's still calling for help, and no help has come, and no help will ever come. Let me just read to you some of these scriptures in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses, they have the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. I'd like for you to consider the fact that hell was never created for us as men and women. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Hell originally was created for the devil and his angel. It was not created for us. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, it says these words, Then he shall say unto them on the left, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for us. And yet, because of Adam and Eve's sin and all the choices that we have made, that's also where we're going. I'd like for us to consider that hell, because of the vast amount of people that are choosing the way of death, that hell has enlarged her borders. Hell used to be smaller. But the Bible says that hell was enlarged. Because of the vast amount of people going there, it was enlarged. Listen to this. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and has opened her mouth without measure. That's in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. It's enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, "For if God spare not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment." And he goes on and says he will do the same for us. Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, which was cast into the fire." My cousin Zach, driving down the road, and there's a couple feet of skid marks. Life was over. It's over. And by all appearance, what we were describing is where he is today. What do you think he would be telling all of us here? What do you think he'd be telling us? What do you think he would be telling us today? A couple feet of skid marks. And I have this photo of my uncle standing there on the street corner, crying and wailing. He'll never come back. He'll never come back. He's gone. He's gone. He'll never come back. There's many of you that know my uncle, Paul Weaver. This is Paul's brother, Jake. This is my mom's brother, Jake, their son. Small decisions at a young age. And today, not even so much as a church to have a viewing or a funeral. All decisions. Look where it leads. Not sure how to close a service like this. And I think I'll leave that to whoever is going to close the service. But I think we do well to just stop and think. Just stop. You find yourself at a place where you know you might not be ready, and it's good for you to do something about that. Good for you to just simply do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Easy for young people. Easy for young people to get into carelessness, foolishness, living in pleasures, all kinds of things. And we think we've plenty of time. I'm not old like Mark is. I'm not old like these older brothers here. I'm not old. Zach had a couple feet to prepare. And it was over. He's gone. There is no return. He's gone. Lord bless you all. Afterwards, somewhere we'll just we want to do the thing. Yes. Okay. The. the trailer in the back here somewhere is where we're going to do that. What we're going to try to do is have it on the inside so it's contained so we can get a whiff of it, of how this smells. But this is how it'll smell in hell.